Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. When you get there, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Lord willing, today we'll look at the personal perfections of God. This will be part 3. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word and the teaching and the receiving of it also. This is, as we mentioned before, this is a letter by Paul to the church at Colossae. This is his prayer that they would continue to progress in knowing who the God of the Bible is. Understand that these Roman provinces and these other places where Paul traveled on his missionary journeys, they were pagans. And they did not know the one and true and living God. They worshipped many gods, many of them. So here they are learning about who the God of the Bible is. And what that does for them, or did for them, and what that does for you and I, is that it causes you and I to live life in such a way to glorify the God who has saved us. That's again, this is why it's so important we learn who God is according to the Scriptures. So this is one of our prayers for ourselves and for the brethren, for the church, that you and I, that we would progress in this knowledge and understanding of who the God according to the Scriptures is. We have to add according to the Scriptures here, because there are so many non-biblical views of God which are easily and readily accepted. It seems to be real easy for someone to say who God is and who God is not, what God would or what God would not do, but yet not ever use Scripture. That comes from opinions, traditions of men, movies, t-shirts, and bumper stickers. That's not where we get our theology, folks. We get our theology from the Scriptures. If our view of God does not come from the Scriptures in context, then we have a wrong view of God. A wrong view of God will cause us to attribute things to God that He does not do, and will cause us to not attribute to God the things that He does do. So for you and I as Christians, it should be our desire to go on to know the true and living God revealed to us by the Scriptures. We have looked at the biblical facts that God is infinite. We are not. We are finite. Last week we looked at the decrees of God, how they are unchanging. God is unchanging. His decrees are unchanging. What He has decreed will come to pass. God uses people as a means to His end. We learned that last week by looking at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and many other Scriptures. God does not change. Nothing takes God by surprise, so God doesn't make new decrees. His decrees will come to pass. And today, Lord willing, we'll learn that God is also omniscient. If you want to remember how to spell it, if you want to remember how it's broken down, the way that they taught me was omniscience, but omniscience. Or we can also put a T back here that say that God is omniscient. Omniscient. This simply means He's all-knowing. I know that there are people amongst us who think they are all-knowing. You just talk to them for a little while, and if you don't know, they'll let you know. And we call these people what? Know-it-alls. My son Cody got a shirt for his birthday one time that said something about, "I am a know-it-all. If you don't believe me, just ask me." Man, it's a know-it-all. And that was funny. We may joke about it, and we may act like we know some things when we don't. You know, I can tell y'all about how to land a space shuttle. And I can tell you I've landed one perfectly. I got marks of 100%. We were in Tennessee in the Upside Down house. And that was one of the games. And you're supposed to land it by watching all your gauges and things such as that. Well, I know I couldn't do that because I was not qualified. But what I did know is that I've seen it land multiple times on TV. So as it came in, I had it sitting in the same position that I saw on TV, and it'll come down, and it said I did 100% perfect. So imagine that. So I could go around telling people that I am an astronaut, that I could land a space shuttle, I could read a few books about orbiting the moon, orbiting the earth. And for the most common people, I could really convince them that I know about all those things, but I don't know nothing about it. Now, I didn't go do that, but I could do that. And you can too, can't you? You can learn just enough about something to get yourself in trouble, can't you? Well, see, God never gets in trouble. Because God is all-knowing. This means He never learns anything. You and I are always learning, aren't we? He's never learning. It'd be good for you and I to stop and really meditate upon these truths about our God. He's never learning. Amen? He is all knowing. I want to read a quote to you. God is omniscient. He knows everything, everything possible, everything actual, all events and all creatures of the past, the present, and the future. He is perfectly acquainted with every detail in the life of every being in heaven, in earth, and in hell. Daniel 2:22, He knoweth what is in the darkness. Nothing escapes His notice. Nothing can be hidden from Him. Nothing is forgotten by Him. Well may we say with the psalmist, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." His knowledge is perfect. He never errs, never changes, never overlooks anything. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. And yes, such is the God with whom we have to do. And that quote is by A.W. Pink from his book that my wife bought for me on the attributes of God. I'd encourage you to get that book. Do we ever meditate on this attribute of God? See, you and I can get aggravated. We can get frustrated when things don't go our way. How interested are people in the future? A lot. That's why these fake prophets come along and get so much attention. You know, right now, those false prophets are having a heyday. The rivers are drying up. I saw a picture this morning that said the Nile River done dried up. The Mississippi River is lower as it's been in our lifetime for sure. The Atchafalaya Basin is dry. There's people all around the world saying that they're the Christ. But do you know what the Lord tells us about those things? Not to be troubled. Amen. We're trusting in Him. Not these things. But all that's going on, people get excited about the book of Revelation. So here it is. We're almost here. Listen, we may be, I don't know. I know this, we are one day closer than we were yesterday. Hallelujah. And Christ is coming back. We know that, don't we? He is coming back. Whether the Mississippi River is flooding or whether it's dry, it don't matter. He's coming back. And you and I, we can be on like a roller coaster ride because there's things we just don't know and we're surprised. Or we're taken back at things that happened. God is not. Because God is all-knowing. All-knowing. But you and I who are saved, it should give us great comfort knowing that our God is all-knowing. Sometimes we can just live life like it's no big deal. But there are certain situations that that this truth is very comforting, isn't it? But other times it is very convicting. Psalm 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and lay Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. As you and I grow in our knowledge of God, our love for God also grows. As we talked about this last week, then we also want to please Him and not offend Him. These verses that we're going to look at today, they should be extremely helpful for all who want to grow in holiness. Do you want to grow in holiness? Then it would be good for you and I to remember that God is all-knowing. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. And then it says this, every one of them. You want to grow in holiness? Keep that verse on the forefront of your mind. God says, I know everything that comes into your mind. Every one of them. On one hand, it's a great comfort. On the other hand, that's a great conviction. It's a sobering verse, isn't it? It's good on the hand that for whatever reason may be, that we're not able to verbally proclaim the goodness and love of God, and we are not able to proclaim our love for God and our need of deliverance by Him. He knows those thoughts. Every one of them, doesn't He? He also knows those thoughts that we wish He did not know. Every one of them. We can hide our sins from others. We can dress up and look great. But we can't hide them from the Lord. Numbers 32:23, a very familiar verse. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. The omniscience of God is great comfort again to those whom the Lord has saved. But for those who are lost in their sins still yet, it will be great calamity. See, God doesn't miss anything. And He doesn't forget. Every thought, every word, and every deed, listen, is recorded. And will one day be brought to light. Those who are lost think they have gotten away with sin because it is not dealt with speedily. They may mock God. But one day there will be a reckoning. Turn to the book of Revelation with me, please. Chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there is found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Notice this, and the what? The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written, where? The books. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, which means anybody, right, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. God has perfect record keeping. Listen, He does not overlook sin. And don't throw nothing at me just yet. Nor does He forget sin over time. How can He who is all-knowing forget? Hosea 7:2 says, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Psalm chapter 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. This sin creates a debt against God. He keeps a perfect tally book, we could say. And this sin that creates a debt against God, it will be paid. It has to be. If the Lord has saved your soul, listen, He didn't just take your sin and say, I forget about them. No, Christ took your sins upon Himself upon that cross and paid for your sins. But for all those who are lost, if you die in your lost state, you will pay for your sins for eternity. And no one is the exception to the rule. And God will not miss anyone. God will not accidentally forget somebody. Oh, I didn't see you over there behind that rock. You may laugh and mock God today, but you will reap what you sow, is what the Bible says. So I beg you to repent of your sins and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross to save your soul. I beg you to repent and believe the gospel. He is all-knowing. And I say this in presenting the gospel, and but also understand this, that I can't make you get saved. I can't make you hear the gospel. I can't put you on a guilt trip to cause you to come to Christ. Only God reveals to those who He wants to reveal Himself to. Mankind is drawn to speculations and assumptions about the future, aren't we? But God never speculates or assumes. We are apt to forget the past. My wife asks me things all the time. Do you remember? I have to say, no, I don't. No, I don't. Sometimes that is a great blessing that I don't remember. It's wonderful. It is. I mean, I see people on the streets who I know from school, and I don't even remember until somebody else tells me that we got in a fight. I remember some of those things. So how's that good? Because listen, there's nothing there I can present the gospel like with nothing holding me back. That's great. Hope I'm not losing my mind. I'm sure my wife's keeping records on that. And I'm making a joke there. See, but God never loses His mind. He never forgets. He never speculates or assumes of what may happen. We're apt to forget the past, but God doesn't. And I want to look at this on the good side. Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God doesn't forget that. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that, that all that we do is recorded. And all that we do for Christ, when it's tried by fire, will remain. God knows these things. But those things that we did for ourselves were wood, hay, and stubble, was going to burn. Amen. God remembers the good things. For some reason, it seems like most mankind is bent to remember the things that are bad. God remembers all things. God knows why we do what we do. Some people do what they do to be seen of men, to receive the praises of men, and Christ dealt with that in the Sermon on the Mount. He says they will receive their reward. But God knows. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." God knows. Everything we do. Every one of them. Now, God does not know all things because He looks ahead in time. That's not why He knows. No. He knows all things because He has decreed all things. Remember, God never learns anything. He never forgets anything. He doesn't make mistakes. The God of the Scriptures is not like us. We mess up daily. Regularly. Daily. Here's another quote. "The infinite knowledge of God ought to fill us with amazement. How far exalted above the wisest man is the Lord? None of us knows what a day may bring forth, but all futurity is open to His omniscient gaze. The infinite knowledge of God ought to fill us with holy awe. Nothing we do, say, or even think escapes the cognizance of Him with whom we have to do." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." God knows everything about everyone. And this is what's amazing. We look around here, all of us have secrets, don't we? People call it skeletons in a closet. We all have secrets. You know, God knows those things. He knows them. And yet, for those of us who are saved, He still chose to save us. How wonderful is that? That's humbling. See, we can put on a show in front of other people, make them think something certain about us. But God knows who we are. God knows what we have done. Every one of them. And yet, He still chooses to save us. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? Died for us. See, these personal perfections of God that we're learning about, they should humble us. It should cause us to fall more in love with God. As we fall more in love with God, we worship Him and be better servants. He saves us, and He loves us with a love that we can never be separated from. Understand that there are times in our lives that we go through things. We question God. And that's all of us here. Talked to a man earlier this week. We had some things happen to him and his family. They got in a car wreck. He had a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. 2-year-old, who's now, I think, 9 or 12, I forgot, in a wheelchair and will be in a wheelchair the rest of his life. He says, sometimes he'll smile, but they're not sure. Because in the wreck, the biggest part of your brain that you use the most is what got messed up. His other son had a stroke because of it. We were talking. He understood we had a special needs child. And he even made mention, as we both made mention, that those who do not have a special needs child, they really don't understand. They try to. They really don't. You know, those who have terminal cancer understand others who have terminal cancer. But those who don't really don't understand. Those who have lost children and loved ones understand what others go through, where others who have not don't. So the question comes up, yeah, I know God knows. But does He care? Does God really care? Let's go to Matthew. We'll start out in chapter 10, and then we'll go to chapter 6. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 26 says, "Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed." "And hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear Him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." How much value are we in the eyes of God? For God so what? Loved the world. What did He do? He sent His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Does God care? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And God does care more about our eternal, I probably shouldn't use the word more there, but our eternal destination, our eternal abode. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, saying to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Here it is again, are ye not much better than what? They. Does God care? Yes. Yes. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. I encourage you to underline this in your Bible. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. That's good. That's good stuff. That's Scripture. I can say this. That's our God. He cares. We can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the comfort wherewith we are comforted by God, we are to comfort others. And we comfort each other. The psalmist says, I look unto the hills from what? Whence cometh my what? Help. My help cometh from who? The Lord. He does help us. He does care. And He is all-knowing. Say, does God know what I'm going through? Yes. Does God care? Yes. What's He want us to do? In Matthew 6, if we'd have kept reading, we'd have seen, we would have saw where He said, O ye of little faith. Seek first the kingdom of God. See, these bodies in which we live, they're temporal. They are. But the body that God has prepared for us is eternal. How much does He care for us? In this life, it cannot be realized. And when you and I, those whom the Lord has saved, when we get to heaven, I still don't think we're going to be able to fully comprehend it. But we'll see, won't we? We'll see Him for who He is. Our God cares. How involved in our lives is He? Even the hairs of our head. He knows them. They're numbered. Have y'all ever tried to number your hairs in your head? Some of y'all, it may not take too long. But others, it takes a while. God is involved. Amen. He's not just involved. He's in what? Control. What He has decreed will come to pass. Is He able? Well, He's infinite. He's unlimited in His power, in His attributes. And He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Now, you and I can rest in this. God is our sovereign God is all-knowing. There's great peace in that. Phone call we get, whatever it may be. Bad news. Good news. We are to wait upon Him. Trust Him. Stay in His Word. His Word tells us who He is, who we are. Seek first His kingdom, and all these things be added to you. And for those of you who are not saved, I beg you to run to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.